in Lower Manhattan, New York, on August the 5th, 1966. A groundbreaking was held for a seven-building complex that was to have 110 stories and 13.4 million square feet. It was the World Trade Center. On September 11, 2001, a 767 jet flew into Twin Towers. And we as American folks watched as that jet went into those towers, and it cost 2,750 people their lives. Many folks, if you remember back to that day, were trapped in between the floors, and the fire was burning from floor to floor. And the fire burned for 59 minutes. As many were trapped on those floors, instead of dying a fiery death, they jumped from the fire to their death. They could not stand the thoughts of the heat of the fire. Fire destroys, fire devastates, and fire depresses. People will jump from a building that is burning, and yet they'll die without Christ and go to a place called hell. Well, who in their right mind wants to go to hell? Who? Really? Who wants to spend eternity in a place called hell? And let me remind you something. I may be a little bit old-fashioned, but I believe if it's in the book, it is from God.
Amen.
And I believe that there is a fire-burning place this morning that is called hell.
Amen.
And I also believe that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die and spend eternity in a place called hell.
Amen.
But I also believe for all of those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, guess what? For those of us who know Jesus in a personal way, you and I have a far better place waiting for us.
Amen, brother.
Hey. The old drunkard who gives his life to the Lord Jesus Christ has heaven waiting. The old prostitute who has walked the streets and sold her body for drugs has a place waiting. The old self-righteous church member who realizes it's not church membership, but it's Jesus that saves has a place in heaven.
Amen.
Thank God. I know that I have a place right now being prepared for me in heaven.
Amen.
Is a real, real place. The story is told of a chaplain who reported to a new duty at a new station. And of arrival at that fire station, some of the men came and asked him this question. Do you believe in a literal hell? He replied, he did not. The fireman upon that day asked him to resign. And he asked them why, and here's what they said. If there's no hell, then we don't need you. And if there is a hell, we don't need you to lead us astray. There is a place called hell. And friends, don't let friends go to hell. Hell is a real place filled with real people who are in real pain. As we sit in this building, it is not a made-up story. It is not a filler in the Bible. It is not a scary fairy tale. Hell is just as real as you're sitting in this building here this morning.
Man, brother.
38 parables Jesus told, and he never called anyone by their names. rich man and the beggar Lazarus both died. Lazarus went to paradise, the place that God had prepared for him. He didn't go because he was a beggar, no. He went to heaven, paradise, because he'd been bought with the blood.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the rich man went to hell. Did he go to hell because he was rich? No. No. He went to hell because he didn't know Christ.
Amen.
He didn't know Christ. It wouldn't matter what he had. He didn't know Christ. And let me just throw this out here for some of you who think it's all about church membership. It wouldn't have mattered what temple, synagogue, or church he may have been a member of. Listen to me very carefully. You can be a member of a church and not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's some of our problem. We've got a lot of folks that came in on mom and dad's coattail and grandma and grandpa's coattail, and they think they're okay because they joined the Baptist church and was baptized. You're not okay that you joined the Baptist church and was baptized. You better be a part of the family of God.
Amen.
And it only comes from being washed in the red flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Man,
I started last Sunday and we began to talk about the series on hell and preach on hell. And I know that some folks don't want to hear about hell today. And some parents say it scares their children. Well, let me understand something, let you understand something. I'm not setting out to scare your children, but I'm just stating facts and reality that there is a place called heaven and there is a place called hell.
Amen.
And listen very carefully, mom and dad. You ought to be very proud of the fact that you got a man who will stand in the pulpit and tell them what the Bible really has to say.
Amen.
It's not about sugarcoating things.
Come on.
And besides, your children watch a whole lot more graphic things than what I'm about to tell you. And your children hear a whole lot more graphic than what I'm about to tell you. And so I want you to stop and smell the roses. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want your children to come to know our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hell is real. It's real. Last Sunday we talked about the misery in hell. You remember what we talked about when the fire never goes out? Several, over and over, I showed you several scriptures where he kept reminding us the fire never goes out. The fire never goes out. The fire never goes out. Nobody can put out the fire in hell. We talked about the worms that would never die, those worms like maggots, those large. And I told you the story that is an absolute true story that got our scientists today just so out of whack. But it's biblical as they watch underneath the ocean floor, in the crack of underneath the ocean floor where there's a fire underneath that crack. And as worms are coming up on the bottom of the ocean floor, and they're finding 8-foot worms laying on the bottom of the ocean floor that's coming up out of that fire. Let me go ahead and tell you something. It may mythify them, but I'll tell you one thing, that's scripture. Worms are in hell.
Come on, brother.
Worms are in hell. What about the gnashing of the teeth that you can't get relief and you gnash your teeth constantly 24 hours a day? We do everything we can humanly to avoid pain, and yet some folks will risk going to the most painful place they have ever experienced in their life. What about the thirst? Being thirsty? Not being able to have anything to drink? Hell is real. The heat of flame will cause thirst to arise. But there's something else in hell that I think is going to be devastating to folks who die and go there. And you say, well, why are you preaching us folks on Sunday morning? Most of us are saved. Well, let me go ahead and tell you something. If most of you are saved, that's absolutely wonderful. But if most of us are saved, then why in God's holy, precious name are we not trying to keep our family and friends from going to hell?
You're right. Come on, brother.
The second thing found in hell that I think is going to make hell terrible is the memory of hell. If you look down with me at verse 25 of this Bible, you'll discover something in Luke chapter 16. The word memory is the mental ability to store and recall and retain information. We say having a good memory is great. We do everything to maintain a good memory. Some of you read, and that's wonderful. I've known folks up in age who have read to keep their memory alive and alert. And they do other things, but I'll tell you one place, memory's good everywhere, but memory won't be good in hell. And guess what? If you die and go to hell, your memory in hell will be better than it's ever been. There's some things in hell that you never, ever be able to escape from your memory bank. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's some things that will dwell on your mind constantly in the place called hell. The rich man remembers everything about his life. He remembers those who tried to tell him about the Lord, and he remembers what Lazarus did and how Lazarus wanted some help and he was so greedy that he wouldn't help him. You know what? Listen very carefully. He couldn't take his money to hell, but he took his memory. After the rich man had asked the father Abraham to have mercy on him and sent Lazarus to dip his finger in cool water and touch his tongue, Abraham answered him, and he answered him in verse 25. You only get verse 25, look at what it says in verse 25 of Luke 16. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is crying, thou art crying." Abraham answered him and said, Son, remember. The rich man was a descendant of Abraham. He was a Jew. And Abraham is making him recall everything in his life and who he was. And Abraham is saying, you should have lived worthy of that relation to him. You are a Jew and you rejected Christ. It's a shame if you die and go to hell knowing better. It's a shame if you sit on a church pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, even possibly Wednesday night, and you still die and go to hell when so many men have stood on this platform and the platform in the old building before the Lord took it through fire and listened and warned you about hell. It is a shame if you die and go to hell when you've been told you don't have to.
Amen.
You've been told that you don't have to. Remember, what a cutting word. One of the most terrible diseases that I see besides cancer is the disease called Alzheimer's dementia. It is terrible to watch somebody's mind slide away who had a brilliant mind at one time. And it's amazing to watch those folks who used to tell you all about things who don't even remember who they are any longer or who you are. It's a devastating disease. But there'll be no Alzheimer's dementia then. You won't be able to forget anything. Even the things that you try to forget, you won't be able to do so. They'll just keep blinking off and blinking off and blinking on and blinking off your mind. What's the subject of it? Say we've been just had out of fire this. Well, the subject of it, and you know what? Look at what Abraham told him to remember. He said, remember your prosperity. You look at all the lifetime receiveth by good things. God had given him everything that he needed to enjoy life. And he never once stopped and told God, thank you for everything he had. Church, let me remind you something. The clothes on your back and the food that you eat and the vehicle that you drive and the house that you live in and the bed that you sleep in is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
It is not because of who you are. Thank God. He does not reward us according to who we are. But he still blesses us in spite of who we are.
Amen.
And he has blessed this man.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you look up at verse 19, you'll discover that this man was purple and fine linen. He had the best of the best of the best. He fared sumptuously every day, had no need of anything. He thought he was set for life and he would live forever. But wrong. Rich people die as well as poor folks.
Amen.
And he died one day and they had a great big old funeral and they celebrated his life and then got together and divided his goods. And now he sits in a place called hell. And Father Abraham on that one that had blessed you.
I'll guarantee you one thing. You and I could make a trip into hell this morning and catch the rich man.
I'll guarantee you, he'd tell us this right now. He would say, I would trade all my purple and linen. I'd trade everything I got to get out of this place. God has blessed so many of you with prosperity. Be very careful if your prosperity becomes your priority. He's blessed you with materials. You have everything you need. Everything that you need. And you think, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time. I can get things right later. I'm going to live it up a little bit. Can I remind you, there's not but one that controls the time.
Amen.
And oh yeah, you might even be a church member. Church members are right sickening sometimes because they think being a member of the church puts them a little bit above everybody else. Can I tell you something? You're not above anybody. The only right we have to be a member of the church is because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You might be a member of the church. Prosperity is not enough. And in hell, you'll remember how blessed you were, but it will be too late.
Right, brother.
Can I get you to do something for me this morning? When you get home, stop and thank God for the little things He gives you in life.
Amen.
Thank God for the little things. It is a little thing to a lot of folks, but isn't it nice to get up and be able to put your own clothes on? It's a little thing. But it's a big thing. Somebody will be out in a nursing home who can't dress themselves anymore. Thank God for the mind that you have. It's a little thing you think today. But ask somebody's family who's watching their loved one's mind slide away, and they'll tell you how it's important to thank God for the mind that you have. Thank God for the healthy children that you have. Might be a little thing that we take for granted, but thank God for those little things of life. Church, I want to tell you one thing. We live in such a fast-paced world, and I think we stop and fail to thank the folks and thank the one that does the most for us sometimes.
Come on, brother.
And I hope you won't die and go to hell, but if you die and go to hell, you'll remember everything God blessed you with, and you fail just to say thank you to an almighty God. For the rich man, the days of good things are past. And he's sitting there remembering. Remember the prosperity. And then remember the poverty. He said to the rich man, he said, I want you to remember what Lazarus, who lived in total poverty. If you look at verse 20, he'll tell you that he was full of sores and lay at the gate. And then verse 21 said he was hungry and he was desiring crumbs from the rich man's table. And the dogs would stop and lick his sores. And he said, I want you to remember every time you stepped over him as he was laying at your gate and you didn't give him the top of day. I want you to remember how you strutted around in your purple and your linen, and that poor old beggar lying there just wanted a crumb from your table, but you were so selfish and greedy that you would not help anybody. Remember how you tormented him and probably even laughed and jeered at him as he was laying there and he had nothing and you had everything. Just too busy. You had no time. Just too greedy. You were too selfish. In other words, rich man, I want you to remember that you just didn't care. You just didn't care. To the rich man, Abraham said this. That poor old beggar was a whole lot richer than you were. And he said, I want you to remember how you didn't give him the time of day, and yet now he's walking on streets of gold, wearing a white, golden robe, and now he's living in a mansion, and you're torn.
and he's comfortable. Can you not stop and remember, thank God for the poor old beggars who Jesus passed by? Yeah. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. People may look down on me and say he don't have anything. And I may not look like I've got anything, but I've got Jesus and I have everything I need.
Amen.
People say, well, he'll never amount to anything. I may never amount to anything down here, but hallelujah, I know I'm going up there.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I'm going up there.
Thank you, Lord.
Be careful about the beggars who we step over every day. Some of you in my drunken stupidity days would have stepped over me because you're a little bit higher on the totem pole, you think, than I was. Can I tell you something? God has a way of knocking you off your totem pole.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Some church folks didn't have time of day for me. And I was begging and praying on the inside that somebody passing my house going to church would stop and try to help me because I didn't try my alcohol and drugs and everything else and couldn't find happiness. But the church folks didn't have time to fool with an old drunk who had got himself in that mess. And I heard that, and I hear that from some of you. You know what we say? Well, they get themselves into the mess. They'll just have to get themselves out. Can I tell you, thank God, that when we get ourselves in a mess, Jesus says, I'll help you out of this.
Amen. Good preaching, brother.
Be very careful. For if you die and go to hell, you'll remember every beggar that you had an opportunity to help, but you didn't stop because you were too busy and too greedy. You'll be reminded how you treated people. You know something? When you stick your heart out there to help folks of all kinds, with all kind of background, get ready because your heart's going to get stomped on. God help me. I know standing here today, for I reach out to so many folks, and so many folks will turn around and stomp you in the heart. But can I tell you this? If you're doing it to be recognized, you're doing it for the wrong reason. When they stomp your heart, Jesus says, I'm proud of you.
Hey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
God may have sent people. It's no accident that you come across a beggar. God sends people our way to see what we're going to do. I've had some folks who've come by the church office, some of the churches I've pastored, who I just knew that something was right about the situation, but I'd help them anyway, because you know why? I think God sends some folks our way just to see what us religious folks is going to do.
Amen.
And I'd rather them stand in response before God than I'd stand in response before God for not reaching out. This old rich man, Abraham, said, remember. Remember Lazarus that was laying at your gate in the heart. Things have changed. Why should Lazarus now give the rich man any time? Think about it. Remember your prosperity and his poverty. Remember your pain and his praise. Remember your sadness and you can stop and hear his shouting. You know what else you'll hear, feel in the memory bank? Listen. Every sermon you've ever heard, if you die and go to hell, will be remembered in this bank. Every time a preacher stood, whether it be me or Preacher Dean, who's with the Lord today, or any of these guys who's ever stood here, or any preacher that you want to think who has ever stood up and preached about the virgin birth and the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he came and died and how he rose on the third day and he lives today, you'll recall everything that was ever said. And I'm going to be honest with you, in hell you can quote everything that the preacher said. Day in and day out, day in and day out, you'll hear the preaching of the Lord. You can tune me out this morning if you want to and cut me off. But I'll tell you one thing. In hell, you can't tune me out or cut me off.
Amen, brother.
And so if you're sitting in here today right now without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you'd rather have the world than you had Jesus and you'd rather have the things of the world than you had Jesus and you're trying to weigh it out. Do I want Jesus or do I want the world? Let me remind you of something. Not only are you listening to this sermon today, you'll hear this sermon for all eternity if you don't put it to Christ.
Amen.
And you remember a preacher who stood
and almost looked like he was pointing his finger at you and said, listen, if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to a place called hell that is full of misery where your memory will be better than it's ever been. You'll hear every song. Every single song. Every single song. You know what? In hell, you'll remember every song. Every song. You remember when somebody sung Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. In hell, you remember this, at the cross, you remember the song that says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You remember this song, it feels so sweet. Trust in Jesus. And I got a feeling. In hell, you remember one of my most favorite songs, and that is just this word right here, I'm just a sinner saved by God's grace.
Amen, brother.
You'll remember every sermon, every song, and every scripture that's ever been believed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. That'll ring and echo in your mind. Nothing will be wrong with your memory. And every time the Spirit of God has spoke to your heart and you said no to Jesus, we come back, oh, I wish I'd win. I wish I'd win. I wish I'd win. I wish I'd win. The times of pride got in the way and you said, I don't want to step out. I've been a member of this church for years, serving in all kinds of capacity. I don't want nobody to know that I'm not saved. Those times will come back in your mind. Listen to me very carefully. It don't matter how long you served in the church. We'd really rather know that you're going to heaven when you die. The subject of it will be your prosperity and your poverty. But in that midst of that, you'll remember all this stuff. Who is going to heaven? Church members are going to heaven. Choir members are going to heaven. Sunday school teachers are going to hell. Church workers are going to hell. Religious folks are going to hell. Drunkards are going to hell, not because they're drunk, but because they don't know Jesus. Druggies are going to hell, not because they're drugged out, but because they don't know Jesus. People who don't know Jesus are going to hell.
Amen.
You say, well, what about children? What about little Allie Kay, who the Lord, inside of her mother's womb, called and decided to take her home? Do you understand something? That little child is in heaven today, just as sure as I'm going to heaven when
I'm. Amen, brother. Amen.
That child never had an opportunity to pray. That child never had an opportunity to receive Christ, never grew on this earth. And I guarantee you the Lord loved her so much that the Lord took her back home. But the child who sits in this sanctuary, who really has never reached the age of accountability and don't know right from wrong, God takes care of them. God's always asked me, what about special children? They're not called handicapped or mentally challenged. I think they're special. Every child that God gives us is special. Some of them may not do the things that we do, but they're special. What about them? God takes care of them. They're with him.
Amen.
It's those of us who reach the age of accountability. You say, when my child will reach the age of accountability? I can't tell you that, but I will tell you this. If your child ever says, I want to talk to the pastor, I want to talk to him, I want to talk to somebody about Jesus, don't you ever stop your child. Listen, even if they're not at the age of accountability, don't know what they're doing then, don't ever stop them from coming to one of us, because when they do get ready, they may not come to us then. So let them come. Here's a myth. Everybody thinks that everybody in the nursing home is automatically going to heaven when they die. No, those folks in the nursing home have a right to receive Christ just as much as we do. Can I just sum it up like this? Everybody who is over the age of accountability, who knows right from wrong, and knows what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, and knows what Jesus can do when he comes in our hearts and lives, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell when you die.
Amen.
In the hell you die. Even if you trip over all your Sunday school pins and fall into the flame. For a lot of folks think as long as they come to Sunday school, they're going to escape hell. Coming to Sunday school, you ain't going to escape hell. The only way you're going to escape hell is to have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your lives.
Right.